You have your Bibles with you this morning. If you want to go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter number 38, verse number 27. Jose's Bible's in Spanish, and I think it'd be better interpreted in English. Genesis 38, verse number 27. Scripture reads, "And it came to pass in the time of her travail, that behold, twins were in her womb. It came to pass when she travailed that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, This came out first. And it came to pass as he drew back his hand, that behold, his brother came out, and she said, How hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore his name was called Phares. And afterward came out his brother, that he had scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zerah."
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to allow me to be here today. My name is Jose Martinez, and I'm from Mexico. It's an honor to be here with you this morning. I want to thank God, first of all, to allow me to be here, and I want to thank Pastor, my friend, to allow me to be here with you today, and Kevin and his wife, who helped me get here. I'm not too good yet with GPS, you know, and so that's why I always ask for help. And it's truly a blessing to be with you today. We work in Mexico, in the country of Mexico. Me and my wife and two beautiful girls and a boy. That's where God has called us to minister, to preach the gospel in the country of Mexico. We have been there, or my dad started this work close to 40 years ago. And we're still working and serving God in our country. That's where he called us to be. And we only work in the places that there's no gospel in our country. You probably won't believe or know, but there's places in our country that they still not hear the gospel. I always have say that Mexico is still the greatest challenge for the United States, because there's places there, you know, that the gospel have not reached. I can take you to places between 6 to 8 hours from the border of the United States where there's nobody preaching the gospel. Mexico is a large country. Mexico is not only Cancun or Puerto Vallarta or these exotic places. No, no, no. Mexico is a very large country. Northwest, there's a state called Chihuahua, and the dogs don't come from there. It's just a name. This is one of the largest state of our country. In that state of Chihuahua, you can fit the seven countries of Central America in one state. Just to let you know how large is our country, you know. So there's places that they haven't heard the gospel. There's places where they don't allow the gospel to go in. Just close to the border. You know, we have pastors who live in one village, and they have to take their kids to elementary school to another village, because in their own village, they will not allow Christian kids to come to elementary school. Yes, because you're Christian, you know. There's places where you cannot buy food in the local store because you're Christian, and they will not sell food to you or groceries or things like that. So Mexico, more than ever, is in a great need of the gospel in our country, you know, and that's where God has called us to be. The last 8 years, 9 years, it has been a terrible situation for our country. Our country is out of control. The Department of Justice here in the United States said that close to 200 and plus thousand people have died in the last 8 years in our country, in Mexico, which I totally believe so. Our country is out of control. If somebody has the control, it's the cartels in our country, you know. And it has been terrible the last 8 years, killing, massive killings and everywhere in our country. They don't respect no one, babies, kids, adults. They don't respect that at all. 8 years ago, 9 years ago, we had a religion coming to our country called the Holy Dead. And this religion, which is now very strong in our country, brought a spirit of death, you know. As soon as this religion came into our country, abortion got approved, and all these things start happening, you know. So they starting to worship death, and that's what come into our country, a spirit of death, you know. And it has been out of control. Now, in days, this last year, or the what it has been of this year, we changed the political party, and things are getting a little better in our country. The government, we know that they was going to make a deal or a covenant with all the cartels, and it starts getting a little bit better, at least for the population, you know. We still here and there hear some things, you know, that happen with people. But like I say, that's where God has called us, and that's where we are preaching for the last 40 years in our country, you know. And God is going to take care of us. God is going to keep us. Until today, neither my family or our pastors or people that we know, they have had a single problem, you know. Anything, no threats, no danger, no nothing. Why? Because God will protect you, you know. God will take care of you, you know. And when you're safe, you don't have nothing to worry about, you know. You know where you're going. So every time that I go, you know, I know that I'm in some risk. You know, we try to be wise. We take our time and precaution to travel into our country, you know, in different ways. But hey, I'm in God's hands, you know. I'm in God's hands, and He's going to take care like He has done until today. And I'm encourage you, if it's possible, I would like to see you up there with us. Come and see. We have 53 churches. We have 32 pastors. We have an orphanage close to the border. And I hope one day I get to see some of you up there in our country. Our country needs the gospel. It's the only thing that is going to make the difference, you know. But in our country and in this country of United States, the only difference, the only thing that's going to make a difference is the gospel of Jesus, you know. It's the gospel of Jesus. Saying that, you know, I'm a missionary, but I speak with all my heart, you know. If I come to ask something for you from you this morning, it's your prayers. It's only your prayers. Your money cannot change my country, you know. Your support, financial support, cannot change my country. The only thing that it can change our country is Jesus. Jesus. Okay? So I don't want you to relate missionary with my money. Not at all. Because I didn't come for that. Yes, we depend a lot, you know, from the help of United States to preach in those areas that we preach. But even when we depend on the help, you're not our support. Our support is God. And our support comes from heaven, you know. So for 40 years, we have been there preaching the gospel only in the villages. That's our vision. We have several churches in several cities, you know, because gospel is not about geographics. It's about souls, you know. So we go to the village, or we are in the city, wherever we are, we will preach the gospel in our country, you know. And that's what I'm here, to preach the gospel. You know, this is what I come. I come this morning to preach. I can tell you so many things. And if you after service, you can just take me out to eat and I tell you whatever you want. You know? And I love Waffle House, okay? I think it's a blessing from heaven, Waffle House. We don't have that in the south of Texas. There's no Waffle House. So as soon as I get here, guess where I went? Waffle House. Yes, sir. Kevin took me. So it's a blessing. And either that or I play golf. Can you believe that? Mexican playing golf. I do. I love. I'm kind of a fake Mexican because I was born in the United States. Okay. But of course my roots from Mexico. So I can keep telling you about our country and about our ministry in Mexico. But I want to share what God has put in my heart. Okay, and I hope you understand my English. Okay, I was telling Pastor I can't wait for all of us to get to heaven and speak one language, Spanish. You know, and that will be it. You know. So you better get you some Rosetta and start learning Spanish, you know, because I'm not going to spend my eternity translating for you and God, you know. You're on your own if you don't speak Spanish out there. So I hope you understand my English. And these verses that we just read. It's an amazing story. An amazing story. Actually, it's one of a kind. If you read this story, it's amazing. You will like it more than a soap opera, you know. It's an amazing story. Kind of difficult, but still, you can learn from this story of Judah and Tamar. And I want to speak to you about breaking through. Breaking through. This story, main people here, Judah and Tamar. Tamar is just a lady. Gets married with some of the sons of Judah. The first one. It was a wicked. A bad man, you know, a sinner, a heathen before the eyes of God. The older son of Judah, he did the wrong stuff. And the Bible said that God killed him. That's literally, he did wrong, he did bad, he was wicked. God killed him. And see, the wages of sin is dead. And we need to be very clear about this. We need to be very clear about this. You know, if you're not safe, you're going to die. And not just physically, but eternally. If you want to have life and life abundantly, you have to repent and get safe through Jesus. My friend, if you're here and you like the church and you like the service and you like the songs and you like the choir and you like the message and you like the carpet and you like the benches and you like the keyboards and the piano and the lights and the paint, that doesn't really mean anything. If you're not safe, if you're not have repent and confess your sin and accept Jesus, you're dead. You're dead. You know? It don't matter what kind of suit, it don't matter what kind of shoes, it don't matter what kind of perfume you have this morning on you. It's if you have Jesus in your heart or not. If you haven't accepted Jesus, the wages of sin is dead. And God doesn't put up with sin. Since Genesis, God ordered men not to eat for the forbidden fruit. He tell them, if you eat from that fruit, surely you will die. And that wasn't just a proposition. It was, he literally ordered that. Don't eat it, or you will die. Satan comes, and in a conversational way, Satan just told the man or the human, he told him that God really mean that? That he say that if you eat that fruit, you will die? He didn't mean that. He didn't mean that. God is a God of love. God is a of mercy and faithfulness. And he's a loving God. He will never do wrong. It's not God doing wrong. It's men doing wrong. And when you accept sin in your life and you don't repent, surely you will die. He didn't mean that. He didn't mean it. Tamar gets married with this older son of Judah. He was wicked. He was bad. He did the wrong stuff. God killed him. God killed him. Church, we don't need to change our message. We need to declare sin. How is sin? Don't disguise it. Don't put up with it. My dad never put up with it. He told me what it was sin and what it was wrong. And if I did something wrong, he whooped my tail. And after the whooping, he told me, I did it because that's wrong before the eyes of the Lord. We need to be like that. We don't need to put up with sin. If your sons and daughters and young people are doing the wrong, tell them the truth. Yeah. It's better to hurt somebody with the truth than destroy them with a lie. Yeah. Amen. Tell them the truth. Well, I'm going to leave home. Let me open the door for you. Hey. Would you prefer your kids in your home for a life term, or you prefer your kids in heaven for eternity? It's your decision. The soul that commits sin surely will die. And not because God wants the dead or do the wrong or the bad thing to the human. No, it's our decisions. It's our decisions. We decide if we serve God or live for God or give our life to God or we reject God. That's only our decision. Don't put that on God. It's your decision. I'm just waiting to hear from God so I can get saved. Let me tell you something. If you're here today, it's because God is calling you. You need to repent. Second, God killed him. She marries the second one. And that's a cultural thing. I don't have the time to go through there. There's a lot of learn on that. But by culture, she needed to marry the second one to give birth and to have a next generation. You know, it was something awful when a lady couldn't not give birth, because through birth, the Messiah was going to come. And that was the answer for the people. This is very cultural, but I don't have time for that. But the second one only will use her. Always will use her. Will be with her in intimacy. But he will never get her pregnant. Because he said, I don't want my kids to belong to my older brother. You know what happened? God killed him. God doesn't put up with sin, and God doesn't put up with unfruitful lives. John, the Gospel of John say, I choose you. You didn't choose me for you to give fruit. Whoever doesn't find fruit in him, he gets cut and thrown into the fire. Once you are safe, you should become fruitful. Amen. Fruitful. Remember when Jesus went to the bush and he couldn't find fruit to eat? He didn't bless that. He cursed it and he got dry. Unfruitfulness, barrenness in our lives. There was one more. And Judah say, she's killing all my boys. I better not give him the youngest one because she's going to kill him too. So he say, okay, when he gets older, I'm going to give it to you. Never did. This is when it gets complicated. Judah's wife died later on. Judah's traveling. She disguised Tamar, disguised herself. And she gets pregnant by Judah. And this is when the verses that we read come. When she's about to give birth. One thing that we can learn from that is that whatever you sow, you reap. He lie, she lie. It's a law. Whatever you see, whatever you sow, you will reap in your life. Now she's pregnant and she's a guy about to give birth. To give birth. And the first one gets the hand up. And when he put the hand off, he gets a little brace and put it back. But Pharaoh's breakthrough, and come first. Breakthrough. And it's time, church, to breakthrough, to have that attitude of Pharaoh, that spirit of Pharaoh, of breaking through. For so many years and months and days, the church has been in a wound. And like Sarah, all we do is just once in a while stick the hand out and put it back inside. But we don't need people like Sarah that only get the hand out. We need people like Pharaoh that break through. Amen. Break through. Give birth. For so many years, churches has been in a wound of four walls. Just there, and once in a while, they stick the can, and then they put it right back. But not Pharaoh. Pharaoh's breakthrough. Breakthrough. Jews, we have a call into our lives. We have a call to into our lives and to our ministry to go breakthrough and to go through all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't call you just for come and preach into Cumming and Gainesville and North Hall. No. He said to go to the whole world. Breakthrough. But religion, he has just put us in a wound for years and months, and they have not breakthrough. There's people in our churches, years of being safe. They have a title in our churches. They have never breakthrough. They only a statistic on Sunday school. They only want a statistic there in the wall. But they have never breakthrough. Once in a while, they stick the hand out, but then they get back. And you know why the situation nowadays? You know why our countries are like this? You know why United States is going through the things that they're going through? It's because the church is in the wound right there. They don't want to break through. All they want to do once in a while is to stick the hand out. You want to tell? Let me tell you a little bit about your country. Let me tell you that every year 1 million babies are going to get born in a second marriage house. 1,500,000 girls are going to get pregnant in 1 year before Before they get to high school, 12% of our children, before they get to high school, they have suicidal thoughts. Here in the United States. Why? Because we're like Sarah in the womb. Oh, I'm so glad I'm a church. I'm so glad I'm church. And I hope you understand and hear my heart what I'm saying. I'm glad to be in a place like this. And it's good to come to the house of the Lord. But church is not what we do right here. Church is what we do out there. Church is outside, not inside. They like the wound. They like the wound. Oh, how many people in my church, they like to sing a special song on Sunday. They want to give a testimony on Sunday. They want to do this in the church and do that in the church. I don't need you to do anything in the church. I need you to do it outside of the church. Over there, the souls are being dead. They're getting lost. They're drug addicts, prostitution, pornography, killings. All those things are happening outside the church, not inside of the church. Where do you need to sing a song? I hope you hear my heart. It's good to praise God. It's good. I'm here to praise Him. Thank God we're saved this morning. But here is to praise. The testimony is outside these walls. Keep your testimony outside. They like sorrow. Sometimes churches just stick. They cannot. Three things. Three main characteristics of the wound. Number one, the mother's wound is the more secure place for a baby. It don't matter how much technology you have in the United States. It don't matter how many doctors and hospitals and tools and everything. If a baby gets born before 9 months, he's in great danger to die. But if he stays in the wound, he is secure. That's why a lot of people like to give the testimonies inside the church. Because here's nobody's going to tell you nothing. They're going to praise God with you. Because they feel secure. It's very easy to do it here. But your testimony is needed outside of the church. The church has become so secure in the wound. Secure. People don't want to expose themselves. It's amazing how the war is turning against Christianity and the gospel. It's amazing how the owners of Starbucks coffee, they can publicly say to TV and shout for the whole world to know that if you support the traditional marriage, you can take your business somewhere else. They can open and freely and with no fear. They can say, we don't want you to buy coffee in a Starbucks if you support the traditional marriage. They're not afraid of anything, but the church is secure inside and they're afraid to call sin how it is because they feel secure in the wound. How easy is to take a law or propose a law in California? Where they propose for take away men's restrooms and ladies' restrooms because people, homosexual, feel that you are treating them and you're against them. They feel offended that there's a restroom for a man and a restroom for a woman. So they trying to pass a law that everybody will use the same restroom. And because the church is so secure in the wound, and we don't want to raise our voice, and we don't want to say anything, we will one day have to go to the same restrooms, men and ladies, kids, boys and girls, in the same restroom, because the church is so secure in the wound. We need some people like without a spirit of Pharisees that when the battle race and the giants come for 40 days cursing the God's people, there will be somebody with the spirit of Pharisee like David, that he will stand up and say, you don't want to fight him? Bunch of cowards, I'm going to go and fight him. I'm not going to put up with that giant. If you don't want to fight, I will fight. God has delivered me before from the lion and the bear, and I have rescued the sheep. If he got delivered me one time, he will deliver me against the giant. If you want to stay in the wound, secure, stay in the wound, but I will fight the giants. Spirit of Pharisees. People is secure here. I heard here in Georgia, I heard a cell phone going off, and instead of a ringtone, it had a song, country song, that it said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but not right now. Because we feel secure. We feel secure. Christianity, God didn't promise you a path of roses. God say, if you want to follow me, deny yourself. Take your cross. Come on. Follow me. If you give for life for me, if you lose your life on earth, you will receive it in heaven. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's a victory. They preach with no security. No security. There's always people that they don't want to stay in the wound. They're willing to break through, even if they don't feel secure. Number two, comfort. There's nothing more comfort than a mother's wound. That's why the first one just pushed the hand and put it up. And this is amazing because he just stick the hand for somebody to give him something. This is how we are in church now. Yes, come here and stick our hand. We receive and put it right back because that's very comfortable. The uncomfortable is giving. But if we go to church to give, to receive. And as soon as we receive, we feel comfortable. A lot of people get comfortable with one Sunday. And they don't come to church the whole rest of the week until next Sunday. Or Christmas, or New Year's Eve, or Easter. Because they get comfortable with one Easter service makes them comfortable to the next Easter. We get comfortable in church. Let me tell you, church, I'm getting tired of this sweet, nice, good services. I want services that make me comfortable. That want me to stand up and go and step in a street or in a corner street and start preaching the gospel. That sooner or later, that the trump is going to sound and Jesus is going to come. And I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to go to heaven. I want to be comfortable. I don't want to get comfortable in this world because I don't belong to this world. Let me tell you the truth. Even when I born in the United States, even when my roots are from Mexico, my nationality is not from this earth. My true nationality is in heaven. I have a home in heaven. I have what belongs to me. My heritage is not in Mexico. My heritage is in heaven. Don't get comfortable in this place. So comfortable that we don't come back, not even on Sunday night. Let me change my point. Let me preach something else. We get comfortable. We get comfortable. Jesus said, I didn't come to get you comfortable. I come with a sword in my hand. to put the father against the son and the sons against the father. I didn't come to get you comfortable. If you love your wife more than you love me, and if you love your business more than what you love me, and if you love your family more, it's not saying that you don't love them. It's saying that if you love them more, Jesus don't want to be the second thing in your life. Jesus wants to be the first thing in your life. And when Jesus is the first thing in your life, let me tell you this, the more benefit people is the one around you, your father, your husband, your wife, your kids. But you need to put God like first in your life. Church, God wants you. Wants 100% of you, or he don't want nothing from you. He wants everything, or he don't want nothing. Like the Bible said that he shed his last drop of blood in Calvary for you. Until the very last, until water come out for you. He wants all, or he don't want nothing. There's nothing more that gets God sick than those who just put the can out and put it back up. You know what it means? Half outside, half inside. And God doesn't like halfway things and halfway Christianity. Because you wasn't neither cold or in fire, because you was just warm, I will throw you out from my presence. God doesn't like comfort. God doesn't like halfway. He wants it all from you, or he don't want nothing from you. Third, and last. The wound is where you get nutrition. Automatically, you don't even have to open your mouth. The wound is connected to your wound, and you get all the nutrition. There's still a lot of Christians with an umbilical cord. Tash! They don't want a breakthrough. They don't want a breakthrough. I need my pastor to come and speak with my husband and with my wife and with my cousin and with my grandpa. Because all we have is still our umbilical cord attached. We cannot go and preach. We cannot go and disciple. We cannot be leadership. We cannot be the head. We cannot be an open door. We cannot preach and teach and sing in front of anybody else, because there's still a core, umbilical cord attached to the wound, and we cannot break through. We cannot give birth to what God has calling us to do. You're still attached to a cord. Sarah just put the cana in and get it out. Back in. Pharaoh's breakthrough. Breakthrough. Church, breakthrough. There's people dying every single minute. Going straight to hell. Breakthrough. Your family needs you. Your relatives need you. Your boss needs you. Your co-worker needs you. They need to hear from the gospel. They need to hear from their Savior. That's what they need. The church needs to break through and get out of the wound. Be like Paris and preach the gospel. I tell you, if I stay here with you 1 week, I find you someone to speak the gospel to. I find you what to do. There's so much need to hear the gospel. Come to Mexico. come to Mexico. Bring the gospel of Jesus. I can send you with a friend in Rwanda. Not only my country, but I can send you to Rwanda, where 1 million people got killed a year ago. When he literally, when he was 8 years old, he saw his dad cut in pieces with a machete. I can take you with my friend Emmanuel to Rwanda. I can take you with my friend Sam Thomas in India, where he stood in a jail for 5 days without being fed and without using the restroom. 5 days standing up. I can take you to South America, in the middle of the river, the Amazon River, where I literally saw a baby, her mom crying, desperate, with a medical team, running to a medical team with a baby in her arms, asking for help. It was too late. That baby died of malaria. You know how much a pill of malaria costs in South America, in Iquitos, Peru? 50 cents. 50 cents is the value of a baby in South America. So much needs breakthrough. Breakthrough. United States is in a great need. It's not the government. It's the gospel that is going to change. You need to put the Bibles back in school. You need to put prayer back in school. We need the gospel. But you need to be like Pharisees. Breakthrough. Get out of the wound of religion and philosophy. Get out of that wound. Breakthrough. There's people that needs to hear the gospel. If you come, if I have the pressure of having you in our country one day, don't bring anything else. Bring Jesus. Bring Jesus to our country. That's what we need. We don't want the houses. We don't want the cars. We don't want all that. We want Jesus. That's what we need in our country. This is what we need in this country. We don't need nothing else. Xbox, Wii, iPhone 5, it's not going to save you, kid. Jesus is the only Savior. It's not going to change. Those things are not. I'm not talking about technology, believe me. I'm not talking about all those things. You have it. I'm glad you have it. You probably deserve it and work very hard for it. But let me tell you this. In 100 years from now, if we get to live 100 more years, if North Korea doesn't get the bomb and strike, or Iran, nothing is going to matter. What type of house, what type of car, what type of dress, what nation, or what color of skin. The only thing that is going to matter from today in 100 years, is if you ever accept Jesus like your Lord and your Savior. That's it. So everything else is in second place. The most important is Jesus. It's Jesus. Church, breakthrough. Breakthrough. Get out of wound and breakthrough this morning. And let's seek what Jesus has in storage for all of us. Thank you and God bless.
Jose, come back out. If y'all would, come with a song. Stand to your feet. I really don't know the needs nor the hearts of anybody in the Lord's house this morning. And I want to say this. I'm if you feel like you have a need and you need to come to the altar this morning, I want to beg you to. I'll say this. It may not be your custom to come to the altar. But if you ever want to think about changing, you've got to make a commitment somewhere. If you're in the Lord's house here this morning, and you want to make a commitment to Him, as Brother Jose has wonderfully preached, if we're going to break out of the womb, I'm telling you, we've got it made. We need to, and I say this all the time, we've got the best thing around. It does no good if we never share it. I don't know your hearts this morning, but I'm thankful for what's been preached, what's been said. I don't know how you want to react this morning. I don't know if you need to come to the altar. I don't know if you need to come pray, if you need to go hug somebody. If you want, Jose, if you would, come down and stand in front of the altar right here. If you want to come give Jose a hug, at the very least, offer your prayers to him as we stand in comfort while he shares the gospel. We love you this morning. I want him to, what's your number, brother? 541. You just do as the Lord leads you this morning.